Welcome to another message from God's Word. This is the last message I'm going to preach in 2020. It is late in the evening. This is my New Year's message and my Old Year's message all rolled up in one. I'm going to start a brand new study, and I want you to see this book. These set of books were given to me by Dr. Carl Farrar many, many years ago. It's called Noah's Three Sons by Arthur Cousins, the Doorway Papers. Arthur Cousins talked about the human history in three dimensions. And there are 10 volumes of this series. Dr. Carl Farrar was probably the most studied man that I've ever known. In other words, he was the most educated man that I've ever known. And he was absolutely in love with books. He had a tremendous library. He just loved books. But the book, the cover and the pages are not what's important. It's what's in the books. He introduced me to this study that has absolutely followed me all of my life. It has followed me all of my life. Because I don't live a day without thinking about these volumes of books. Because they tie the Bible together, they tie the history of mankind together, and the history of the world. The history of mankind, angels and spirits and God from eternity past, as we look up here at the chart, to eternity future. God is triune. I know a lot of people do not believe that. They don't believe in the Trinity. They don't believe in the triune God. But God does things in trinities. He created animals, birds, life forms. Now, whether you believe this or not, this is what the Hebrew Bible teaches. As you know, I have delved and been a student of Hebrew and Greek all of my life, all of my spiritual life, let's put it that way. My stepfather, Dale Remling, was an atheist, and he wrote books about atheists. He was the most talented man that I've ever known. He was a movie star or a movie extra, a movie stunt man. He was a writer. He was one of the greatest horse trainers that I've ever known in the world, if not the greatest. He was a good carpenter and a mechanic and a plumber, electrician. Everything he could do. And I just fell in love with him when my mother and him got together. And I loved him like my only father that I ever had, because he took time to teach me, even though he was very hard on me. And he would make fun of people that believed in God. And I was saved in 1961, shortly after my grandmother was killed. A church with a pastor and a son that I knew very well, and daughter, and the pastor's wife were very wonderful people. They were in a charismatic church is the only problem. In a charismatic church, they don't teach much Bible. But they gave me a Bible. They gave a Bible to me, and I read it. Didn't have a Bible before. I read that Bible, I was under conviction of sin, righteousness, judgment to come, and I went down, and my ex-grandmother led me to the Lord there in that little church. Nobody else paid attention to me. The preacher was talking in tongues, and the preacher's wife was talking in tongues, and everybody was doing all kinds of wild things. But I met the Lord there because of her and because of the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. Many years later, I was hurt very seriously in the oil fields. In oil fields, it was like being on the front lines of in Vietnam or something. It was a killing field. Disaster. And I was young. 21 years old, I was paralyzed. My lower back, my legs, I could hardly use them. Sometimes I would be just totally paralyzed. Other times I could walk a little bit, do things. I was about to become permanently paralyzed, and I finally had an operation. Through all of this, God was dealing with me. And I began to study God's Word. And I wrote to my stepfather, which was in prison at that time, in Jackson, Michigan. He escaped out of there in 1975 in June, and if you were old enough, you would have seen him on worldwide news talking about his escape of the helicopter from there. And I wrote to him, and I told him, I said, God is calling me to preach, and he wrote back to me, kind of sarcastic, and he said, well, if you're going to be a preacher, then you better learn Greek and Hebrew because the Bible wasn't written in English. And so I began to do that with great zeal. I wanted to make him proud of me. And he was. Later in life, after all his scoundrel things that he had done, yet he was a great man in many ways. He helped a lot of people. But he also ripped a lot of people off. He was a con man. He did say one thing. He said, I'm too honest to be a preacher or a politician. And I think he was. But his one act of success in life was, they say, Uncle Dale or Dale, whatever did you ever do in life that was good for the world? He said, I raised Jimmy. Look at him. Well, he had a lot to do with what my studies were. And he was proud of me. And in studying the languages, the Bible just come alive to me. Now, getting back to the subject of Noah's three sons. Noah's Three Sons is an absolute masterpiece of what we might call understanding God's Word, understanding God's eternal purpose. And I'm going to read some things to you from the Bible. And we're going to go back to the book, and we're going to go through this chapter by chapter in this series of studies. And this is class number one. In Genesis, Bereshith, the ninth chapter, the book of beginnings. When Noah woke from his wine, he knew what his youngest son had done to him. And he said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants. He shall be to his brothers. Now, Canaan was cursed. The only one cursed to be a slave was Canaan. Not Ham's, all of his descendants, but all of his descendants would become servants to humanity. I want you to understand that. Canaan would go into the land of Canaan, would be named after him, and he would build all these ranches and farms and orchards and vineyards and things. And after Israel, and this is before Israel ever was thought of by mankind. God, in his mind, he always knew this. And he said this is a prophecy of the history of the world right here in Genesis, the 9th chapter and the 10th chapter. Israel will go down in the land of Egypt so many years later in the Egyptian bondage. Look how we're way over here in Genesis. After the flood, Noah is speaking these words by prophecy, by inspiration. And he says some things. The flood took place. After the flood, there was a division of the languages and the division of the continents on the earth. The earth was one piece of water and one piece of land before that, and then the continents become. This is very important because people are very confused about the races of mankind. How did the American Indian get over here to the American continents? They were always here. The American continent didn't become the American continent until after the earth was divided and the Indians were already here. The Indians are Hamites and Mongoloids. They're Asian and Hamites. Even the Asians are Hamites. Mongoloid, Caucasoid, and Negroid are the races. Shem, Ham, and Japheth, in that order of prominence, and that order of importance. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. A servant he shall be to all his brothers, and he also said, Blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem. Shem means name or monument. Canaan means possession. And let Canaan be his servants. And may God enlarge Japheth. And let him dwell in the tents of Shem. Let him take over the administration of God when Shem fails. Shem is supposed to bring, it means name or monument. That is God. Through Shem, God would reveal himself to the world. Through Abraham. To Isaac, to Jacob, to Moshe, Moses. May God enlarge Japheth. May he spread out. And let him dwell in the tents of Shem. Let him take over Shem's work until the fullness of the Gentile come in. And let Canaan be his servant. And then in the 10th chapter of the book of Genesis, we have the racial table. Now, these are the records of the generation of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And even the order of those names are very important. Shem, name, monument. Ham, dark, concealed, strong. So the Hamites are the strongest people in the world. Their teeth are even strong. Did you know that? Why, the strongest teeth in the world are American Indian and the Negroes. They have more roots on their molars. They have different type of teeth. Strong teeth. Strongest people in the world. The strongest. Not only that, but they spread out further. The Ham's language, when the confusion of the languages, Ham's languages are the languages of the Hamite people were more diverse than all the others. Europeans and Indo-Europeans, the Shemites and the Hamites. The threefold nature of man's basic generations and man's basic needs. Man's life as an individual is lived in three worlds. The world of the things, the world of thought, and the world of spirit. Now man is spirit, soul, and body. Man is a trinity. Animals are trinities. The nature of man and the whole human race is a trinity of thought and action and spirit. Thought, spirit, and material. There were angels, a triunity of angels and orders of angels. There were Michael over the spirit. There were Gabriel over the mind. And there's Lucifer over the material, physical realm. Mankind, Shem, is over the spirit. Ham is over the physical world, the material. The Hamites made all of the basic inventions in the world. And then Japheth, the thought, the philosophers, scientists, technical people that put to work and perfected the inventions of the Hamites. In order of importance, it is Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Shem, the spirit world and the spiritual part of man. Ham, the material needs of man. The physical ingenuity of mankind. And Japheth, the technology. I'm going to skip a few things in this book, but I'm going to just give you some of the things that the Hamites have given to the human culture. The block and tackle, wiffle trees, the windlass, gears, pulleys, steam engine principle, gimbal suspensions, suspension bridges, chain drives, catapults, domes and arches, locks and gates and lifts and fire pistons, lathes, clockwork mechanism. Not Japheth people. Ham. The copper, bronze, iron, cast iron, bellows systems, glass including malleable or blowing glass, pottery, china, porcelain, lenses of several types, glasses, steel and cement and dyes and inks and rubber and charcoal and carbon black and glues and preservatives and shellacs and varnishes and enamels and casting methods of all kinds including hollow castings. Nails and saws and hammers and brace and bit and sandpaper and rope saws and carbonium and stoves and plans and maps and drills, buildings of all types, genuine skyscrapers. Let's go back to Egypt. Window materials including glass, doors, hinges, locks, protective coatings, streets and drainage systems. Europe didn't have that. Sewage disposal on a major scale. Running water and pipe system, pipe gas for heating, central heating system, surveying instruments and drills. Linen, cotton, silk, wool, felt, lace, netting. Tapestry, needles, thimbles, parchment, gauze. Mechanical looms and visible mending. Flying shuttles and netting shuttles, inks, chalks, pencils, block printing, movable type, all kinds of paper, textbooks, encyclopedias, libraries, literary forms and fables, envelopes and postal systems, aloes, pears, kidney beans, cereals, cocoa, coffee, tea, tobacco, chicle gum, cassicara, pineapple, chili pepper, cashew, and peanut, artichoke, potatoes, tomatoes, sweet potatoes, prickly pears, squash, corn, beans, strawberries, and arrowroot were the foods that they donated to the world that were genetically engineered, by the way. The llama, alpaca, cows and sheep, cats, dogs,
camels, pigs, horses, and fowl. The compass, canals, and locks. By the way, Mitzrayim, or Egyptos, or Egypt. And the word Mitzrayim means a land of red mud and canal banks. Stern post rudders, skis, toboggans, snowshoes, travois, wheels and solid spoked and rimmed and tired and watertight compartments and construction for boats. The 1300s, China had 319 massive ships that were watertight with bellows and corrosion resistance metals, nails. Harnesses for domestic animals, the stirrup for the saddles. All types of watercraft, cement, paving, surface roads, road rollers, wheelbarrows, stirrups, wheeled vehicles, kites, parachutes, jet propulsion, weather signaling and forecasting. Mirrors and wigs and combs and nail polishes and scissors and powders and ointments, toothbrushes and shaving equipment, jewelry of all kinds, geometry, trigonometry, algebra, all kinds of logarithms, the concept of zero, paper money and coinage, banking houses, postal systems, trade regulations, wage regulation and compensation. Contracts, medical and surgical practices and instruments among the Hamitic people, gargles, snuffs, inhalers, enemas, fumigators, suppositories, insecticides, truth serum, cocaine, cesarean operations, animal stupefying drugs, anesthetics, soaps, splints, quinine, poultices, decorations, infusions, pills, and trochuses, and lotions, and ointments, and plasters, and adhesive tapes, tourniquets, and surgical stitching, bandages, and vaccine for smallpox, tranquilizing drugs and anesthetics, remedies. Over 70% of all drugs used and dispensed by your druggist today originally came from the Hamite people. These are a few things. In the 10th chapter of the book of Genesis, it tells you where all these people spread to throughout the world. Nations have personalities. This is a very important message from God's Word to you people. It will help you understand the history of mankind. A man is the sum total of all of experiences and how he has reacted to them, and I'll say that again. A man is the sum total of all of experiences, of his experiences, and how he has reacted that to him. That is his personality. That is his soul. Man must be balanced in his ways. Whole cultures have been kibbut. Whole cultures have been destroyed because they went too far in some direction. What is true psychological of individuals, history shows to have been true of whole cultures. Nations have personalities. Whether this is genetically determined or not is a matter of considerable debate. Those who argue strongly for hereditary basis. One of my former messages lately, it says that in the culture, And this happened in Germany. Hitler wanted to raise a superior master race, the Aryan race. They began to euthanize, to kill, and to neuter all of the subjects he considered to be inferior. The subject of national pride is tremendous among nations. We can see that in Israel, Islam. Islam is not so much a religion as a national. It is a what we call a law, well, Sharia law. It is a system of thinking. Much abuse has been brought upon the world by people that are out of balance. Whether the contribution of Shem, Ham, or Japheth has been blended into a single organized way of life, a high civilization has resulted in that. But as soon as civilizations have become unbalanced, and either the spiritual life, the intellectual life, or technology, or the culture has received overemphasis to the detriment of the other two. Let me give you some examples of this. Catholicism. Catholicism, so-called, was a superior religion, they said, the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church brought a false sense of morality on the world and an overemphasis on obedience, the manipulation of the masses. Islam did the same thing because Muhammad or the Islamic system copied after Catholicism. You don't have to intellectually appeal to somebody if you have a knife at his throat or an axe over his head. He will be convinced that if he wants to survive, he will adhere to that sometimes ridiculous system of thought and obedience. In 1123 AD, the Catholic Church ordained celibacy among their priests, and it caused trouble ever since. There have been child molesting, rape in the Catholic Church ever since. Child molesting and rape because they tried to take a person and make him do something that God did not design him to do. God didn't design you to be a eunuch, so to speak. And they said their priests would be like the pagan religions. We see that, the consequences of that, in Islam. They got a double set of standards. You don't lie to another Muslim. You don't cheat another Muslim. You don't rape his wife. You don't take his wife. But everybody else, they're kafirs, they're infidels, and so you can do anything to an infidel you want to do. You can lie to him, steal from him, rape his wife, and take his wife as your own, if you want to, because they're nothing. They're infidels. In religious systems that go out of balance like that, there is a great potential for evil. An intellectual religion, you might say, is supposedly Jehovah's Witness. But Jehovah's Witnesses deny fervently the deity of Jesus Christ, which cuts them off from any chance of salvation altogether, because through him is the only way we are saved. They deny the Trinity. And we have the Mormons that have the wrong idea about God altogether. The Muslim idea of God and at the afterlife is sex. The Mormon idea of God in the afterlife is sex and procreation. The Catholic idea of God is an ogre. But the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world. John said in another place, God is love. Christ is a propitiation for the whole world, not only us, but the whole entire world. Jesus Christ died for all men. Noah predicted the responsibility which belonged to Shem, that he would be the spiritual leader of the human race. He allocated to Japheth when the times of the Gentiles began at the cross of Calvary, that they would be the carrying the banner of the truth to the world. And by the way, the Japhethites, intellectually, brought more glory to God in the writings of the great theologians than Judaism ever did. You have the Mishnah, you have the Talmud, you have the Babylonian Talmud, you have the Jerusalem Talmud, you have all these writings. But they're arguing about ridiculous things. And in the Japhethite writings, we have people like Eric Sauer, Triumph of the Crucified, from eternity to eternity. Noah's three sons. After the fullness of time comes in, then we have the millennial reign. We have the tribulation period where Israel is prepared to become the administrator. And the whole world will dwell in the tents of Shem then. Islam and Catholicism brought on the Dark Ages because of the abuse of religion. They brought man into the Dark Ages. When mankind began to come out of the Dark Ages, they started acting like the Baptists had been hiding up there in those hills and the valleys of the Piedmont and every place, the Mennonites and the Amish. They always did read the Bible. People couldn't even read the Bible. They couldn't read and write. Dark Ages. Islam. You know, today, the adherents to Islam, many of them, a large majority of them, cannot read and write. Just like Catholicism in the Dark Ages. Islam's still in the Dark Ages. These people find themselves in a great disadvantage when it comes to really knowing God. And really succeeding in any as a, what we might call, a contributor to the human race. They're a detriment to the human race. Catholicism and Islam have been detriments to the human race. Mormonism. Jehovah's Witnesses are detriments to the human race. They're out of balance. They're off on the wrong foot. These people demand obedience to them and to their adherence to their ideas of thinking greater than God ever demanded upon humankind. In the family of Noah, Shem has given priority. Ham comes second because he's most important. Secondly, most important. The physical world, if you don't have a house over your, a roof over your head, or food to eat, you're not going to be very spiritually inclined or anything else, or mentally inclined. Japheth is last. This order may well be intended to underline an important truth. Man's spiritual needs are preeminent of all things, and his physical needs are next. His intellectual needs are last. Did you get that? His spiritual needs are first. His material needs or physical needs are number two. And last of all, his intellectual needs are. History indicates that there was an order of development, and historically, as the expression of man's religious nature came first, led due course to the technology development, and then to philosophy. The contribution of Japheth came relatively very late in history. They followed the tracks of Ham. They followed the tracks of Ham's inventions, the paper, the ink, food to feed the world. The Hamites contributed food to feed the whole world. Since the time of the flood, the major contributions towards meeting these demands has been rendered by the family of Ham. Virtually no people have managed to survive without finding some way of satisfying their spiritual and physical needs. Many societies have survived without philosophy. No society has survived without basic needs. The contribution of the family of Japheth is least important of all. Nevertheless, this contribution is directly responsible for the extension of the first two into other categories of experience, religious belief into theology, and technology into science. Overemphasis on the material, the spiritual, or the intellectual will throw nations out of balance. Hitler is one of the greatest examples of that. One of the greatest examples of exaggeration over the material realm and over technology, genetic engineering that he tried to do. Russia, China, these are villains of the world, villains of society, villains against humankind. Politics. We all come down to politics, don't we? I always tried to, one time you'll think I'm some liberal, one time you'll think I'm a hyper-conservative. What I really am is going down the middle lane of truth. Politics. Extreme. That's it today. Extreme. We had a president, President Trump, that brought prosperity to America and truth. He exposed the Republicans for what they were. He exposed the Democrats for what they are. All of them are in the leeches of society. He wanted to drain the swamp, you know. He wanted to clip the wings of the CIA and the FBI as John Kennedy did. You don't mess with these monsters without them coming after you. Like Medusa. Like the Cyclops or something. Shem has the responsibility of maintaining man's spiritual life, and he dropped the ball at the cross of Calvary. Man's survival and what we might call dominion over the earth. The Hamites have gone into all of the, what we might call, the pioneer fields of the earth.
New Zealand, Australia. The Solomon Islands, these are all Hamites. China. The Philippines. North and South and Mesoamerica. They went there and they achieved things that no Japhethite ever thought about it, nor a Shemite. But the Shemites and the Japhethites borrow from the Hamites, the cultures. The Japhethites have learned much. We had a Japhethite president. If you know, whether you know it or not, the Trumps are German immigrants into America. German immigrants. The biblical record shows how the experience of these three families was suited to prepare them for their task. Ham was scattered far and wide in very early time in history, teaching the most distant part or reaching the most distant parts of the habitable world and inhabitable world. How about Alaska and down toward Antarctica? How about Siberia? How about the coldest regions of China? Can you imagine a people surviving in Alaska? In the ice with the igloos? And all the inventions of those people that learned how to survive there? And they prepared the land for Japheth to come in and settle in and thrive in. The Hamites have been the mother of invention. Permanent settlements where they went and pioneered. They are what we call settlers of the world. And then the Japhethites come along backward afterwards and settle those countries. Take them over from Ham and the Hamite people. Japheth spread it slowly into many of these areas where becoming heirs to the solutions and predecessors of the Hamites. They had leisure enough time to spend more time in reflection and utilizing those basic contributions that the Hamites have given to the world. Ham excelled in know-how. Japheth began to ask why. Meanwhile, the spiritual life of man was in grave danger and the truth was almost eclipsed. Because of Islam and Catholicism. God in times past called out one man of the line of Shem, that was Abraham, wasn't it? And through Abraham's people, he became a nation. Abraham had three wives. Sarah, a Shemite. Hagar, a Hamite, and Keturah, a Japhethite. And through those three wives, he had six sons by Keturah. He had one son by Hagar and one son by Sarah. Think about that for a while. We all owe something to Abraham because we're all sons of Abraham in some way, physically probably. A little small country over there in the Middle East called the land of Canaan, the land of Israel, the land of Palestine, the whole center of the world, the whole world, the eyes of the world are upon them all the time. That land there in Jerusalem is, there's nothing there really that's of any value. It's not a seaport. But that's God's town. That's God's city. When Israel failed to recognize their king, Japheth took her place.
until the fullness of time comes in. I hope that you've enjoyed. I hope that this study that we have begun here will make you think. Make you think. It's a good thing if you can do it. It's a good trick if you can do it. Think. Think. Rationalize why all the world has... Why are we in this mess all over the world all the time? The sons of Noah are still fighting. Anytime you get out of balance of these three things, you have problems. You get out of balance spiritually, you have problems. You get out of balance physically, you have problems. You get out of balance mentally, you've got problems. Our Father, I send this message out. And I pray that you use it all over the world. I pray that people think. And Father, I pray that you convict those out there that might not know you of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come, that you speak to their hearts and call them to you, that they trust in your Son that gave his life for you, for them, for the world. They call upon you for mercy and salvation. And Father, please forgive me where I fail you. And use these messages to honor and glorify you in every way. In Jesus' name I pray.